Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person who at the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state.
So this is in reply to those who think that they're automatically going to the abode of the Lord. It's not automatic. It depends on the desire. Just like you may have purchased a ticket for going to Hawaii, and you may even be at the airport. But at the last minute, you may say, no, I'm not going. There's some strike there at the airport, I'm not going to go. I'll go somewhere else instead. So you may have the ticket, you may have purchased, but if you change your mind. So similarly, if the mind at the time of leaving the body is thinking of going to some particular state of ignorance, if one's in the state of ignorance, then he will get a body that's primarily in the mode of ignorance, means insects, trees, animals, fish, birds. If he's thinking in the state of passion, then he may get the body of a human being. Human beings are primarily in passion. And if he's in the state of goodness, then he goes up and he can take birth amongst the demigods, higher planetary systems. And if his consciousness is in the state of transcendence, Vasudeva state, Shuddhasattva, then he can go back to the spiritual planets. So these are the choices, and it all depends on the state of consciousness. So when people say, I'm going back to heaven, back to Godhead, it's not sure. We have to see what the consciousness is at.
This is a point we should note very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharata, although a great personality, thought of a deer at the end of his life, and so in his next life he was transferred into the body of a deer. Although as a deer he remembered his past activities, he had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental, spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life.
Let's try that again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, that is the best means of preparing oneself. It purifies the heart, purifies the consciousness, and one becomes inclined towards going back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, if one doesn't chant Hare Krishna, then why will he want to go back to the spiritual world? They're there, everyone's chanting Hare Krishna there. If you want to go to the spiritual world, you have to prepare yourself. Just like if you want to go to a football game, everybody's cheering and yelling and so many things and watching. You have to prepare yourself. If the atmosphere is cold, then you have to wear some warm clothes. And similarly, if you're going to a place where the people are absorbed in Krishna, you have to be ready to be absorbed in Krishna also. Otherwise, you'll feel out of place. What am I doing here in this place where everyone's absorbed in Krishna? So, it's all very personal. These verses, a few verses later here, Srila Prabhupada, let's see, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, always a person. Text 9 and 10. So it's very personal. In text 10, the words are used Param Purusham. Purusha means person, personality of Godhead, and Param means transcendental. So it's not impersonal. It's not that we're going to go to heaven and there's nobody there, no persons. Just merge into some. There is that opportunity for those who want it. That's called Brahmajyoti. So if one wants to merge, or the impersonalists like the Buddhists, the voidists, they want to merge into the causal ocean, into the void. They want to give up their identity, their individuality. They're so frustrated. They're so bewildered. They think better just commit spiritual suicide. So that is impersonalism or voidism. And you can see many people are taking to impersonalism and voidism. Spiritual suicide. Give up my individuality. I don't want to exist anymore. It's like a person is so miserable, they don't know how to live a happy life, so they think, I'll just take some overdose of something and I'll kill myself. Commit suicide. I'll cease to exist. So that also can happen with those interested in some kind of emancipation. They think emancipation means annihilation.
Maharaj, my experience is that generally people who identify with Buddhism or impersonalism, the Mayavadi conception, voidism, impersonalism, that generally they're not really very frustrated with sense gratification in material life, and they're actually very enthusiastic, and they just try to incorporate some of the maybe motor goodness aspects of impersonalism and Buddhism and into their, so they can enjoy in the motor goodness. And with the focus on sense gratification, rather than that they're thinking this world is miserable. Seems like they have a very shallow understanding.
Are they true Buddhists. They don't understand, actually, the purpose. So therefore, they're just taking superficial. Just like nowadays, people practice yoga, but they're not real yogis. They have no interest in the real goal of yoga. The real goal of yoga is to see Vishnu. Or you could say the secondary goal is to get mystic powers. But people today, they practice yoga just to, you know, have some, like you say, some social benefits. So that means they're not even real impersonalists or real voidists or real yogis or real religionists. If everybody's and everything's manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hipututa. In this age, even if people take up spiritual life, they don't follow it very strictly. They're not inclined to follow strictly. That's Kali Yuga.
Sometimes we think of the impersonalists or voidists, and there's one conception that traditionally they practice austerities and they try to control the senses and control the mind and give up all material activities. But then we also have the conception of, like, modern idea of impersonalism is everything, it all goes. But it doesn't have really any idea of controlling the senses or the mind. Just like everything, whatever happens is all right. Everyone thinks, whatever everyone's opinion is, that's okay. So what is this idea? It doesn't seem like it's actually really impersonalism, but a lot of times we call it impersonalism. It just seems like atheism or some type of demonic.
Hedonism. Yeah, this hedonism, just for the sake of sense gratification, I adopt a fashionable cliches to get out of the religion of my birth that I'm frustrated with, so I take up a different one, a little more fashionable. Not serious, because the first principle of any serious discipline is discipline, that one has to discipline the mind and senses, control the senses and the mind. How can we practice spiritual life if we're not controlling our minds and senses?
I had a two-part question about the purport. In the second chapter, it says that the sober person is not bewildered when they change bodies. And so my two-part question is, was Maharaj Bharat to be considered a sober-minded person at the time of his death? And then if not, what was it specifically then that allowed him to remember his past life, and is that sort of...
Yes, he was bewildered. That's why he became a deer. He's completely bewildered. He had forgotten about his spiritual practices, and he was thinking, this is my son, my beloved deer, pet. And he fell off a cliff thinking of his deer. But because he was a great devotee, it was a very exceptional case. He had already become very advanced, but it's some quirk of nature, quirk of fate, he just forgot everything temporarily. So Krishna doesn't forget someone, whatever bank account, whatever spiritual bank account one has earned. He was already an advanced devotee, so his special, you could say, boon was that he took the body of a deer, but generally deers, they don't remember their previous lives. But he did. He remembered exactly who he was, that I was Bharat Maharaj. Look at me now. I'm in this body of a deer. I won't make that mistake again. So he wouldn't even associate with the other deers. He stayed away from them. So his whole life, he said, I'm not going to associate with these deers. They're materialistic. And then he took his next body in the family of a very good devotee, very good Brahmin family, and he became Judd Bharat, the greatest devotee. So that was special because he was such a nice devotee, but he fell down.
So then we should understand that his situation when he became a deer, that's a rare situation to actually be able to remember your past lives, even for someone who's practiced devotional service. Yeah. We should not expect that if we don't do it in this lifetime, that we'll be able to remember in our next
life. Bharat Maharaj, let's look at Bharat Maharaj's life. First of all, he was the emperor of the whole planet. He was the son of Lord Rishabhdev, the incarnation of the Lord. He was a wonderful devotee, all good qualities. And he had advanced up to the stage of bhava, and he had retired from his position as emperor and gone to the forest to practice austerities. And he was worshiping the Lord very nicely, and he just somehow or other, due to a soft spot, some sentiment, he ended up becoming attached to this deer. Therefore, one has to be careful about pets. And because we see, pets have become very prominent in the lives of so many, especially in the West. Not so much in the East, because, like, for example, in India, of course, now they're imitating America, but formerly they didn't allow pets inside a house, isn't it? Pets could be outside, but not inside the house. But in our Western culture, we the pets become part of the mainstay of the home. So we become very attached to the pets. Not only pets, children, lovers, everything. Home. Someone becomes very attached. This is my house, my country. They'll die for their country. So they go and they fight in the war, and then they die for their country, their land. So then they have to take birth again in that land because they're so absorbed in thinking of that land. Whatever one thinks of at the time of death, that's what will happen. That's where he'll go. Yes? Microphone.
Tell me, when you fight, battlefield in, somebody die and he go to other planet, other country. So Shastra telling you that somebody means sannyasi and soldiers in, die in the battlefield, they are go to come back to Godhead. So,
or at least the sun planet. At least the sun planet. They're not thinking of Krishna. They get elevated. So yes, one who's, if he's actually fighting on Kshatriya principles,
yes.
That's the point there. That has to be, it has to be for a right cause. If he's fighting for a mundane cause, then he doesn't get. Just like, for example, I'll give you an example. Now, someone's a policeman, okay, and he dies in the act of protecting the people. Well, he's given a very high honor. The whole city may come and go to his funeral. He's very highly honored. But if someone joins a gang, a drug gang, and he goes out, and they're beating people and stealing and they're doing drug, and he dies, does he get the same? No. He doesn't get the same respect. He doesn't get the same. It's not the same, because one is doing it, he's trying to do the right thing. Even he may not be a perfect person, he's trying to do his duty properly, and the duty is authorized. Whereas the other is acting a criminal. He's beating people, and when he dies, it's not the same. You have a question? Okay. In other words, let me just finish on that point, because it's an important point. The soldier, he doesn't just follow anyone. It's not that I'm a Kshatriya and I just follow anyone. Some gunda, like for example, when you go to the railway, sometimes they have the stop thing, what's it called? The railway? The barrier, yeah. Yeah, you can't get through. So sometimes the gundas, the thieves, they come up and when you're stopped there and they say, give me your money or. So that's not a very respectable activity for a Kshatriya. Kshatriya would never do that, a real Kshatriya. He wouldn't use his strength to cheat others or to steal. He would only use his strength. As Krishna says, one's strength should be used to, in the proper way, to protect others, in religious principles. So a real Kshatriya, he always follows religious principles. He will never do anything against the Dharma. For a Kshatriya, Dharma is the most important thing. Actually, Prabhupada said that the members of the other side that fought on the side of Duryodhana, They should have left that side and come over to the side of Krishna and Arjuna. That would have been real dharma.
The question that this is from the daughter of Hayasvan.
Just need to know which city it is.
From Holland.
From where?
From Holland.
Holland.
Hayasvan.
The Netherlands.
The question is, just why does it have to be at the point of death? Why not now?
Yes, now we should think of Krishna. Of course, but if we're thinking of Krishna now, but then at the time of death, I'm thinking of my beloved cat, then you see the point? In other words, the time of death is when we actually go to the next body. Can we move this stand here a little bit? So, we're preparing our consciousness now. So yes, by thinking of Krishna now, we're preparing ourselves. And if we think of Krishna all the time now, it'll be very easy to think of Krishna. We'll be practiced. Just like if someone is practiced how to fall, if he practices, then he knows if he falls, he knows exactly how to put his hands, everything. But if he doesn't practice and he falls, he may not know. So it takes practice. Therefore, bhakti yoga, sadhana bhakti, leads us to the position where we're comfortable. We know we'll think of Krishna at the time of death because we're practiced to think of Krishna all the time. Okay, continue. Paul, question?
Srila Prabhupada says that not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord, and then in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita it says that from Krishna comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So how can we really be the ones to control whether or not we think of Krishna at the time of death? It seems like it's ultimately it's still up to Krishna whether or not we're going to remember Krishna.
He gives us free will. Not a blade of grass moves without his will, but his will he passes on to us. He gives us free will. He accepts that. Just like if you have a child, if you have several children in your front yard, you may let them play as they wish. You don't force them, okay, take their arms and say, now you must do this, you know, move like this, and that wouldn't be any fun for them or for you. You prefer, let them enjoy themselves, let them do what they wish. They have some freedom. But they're not free to go outside into the traffic. No, if they start to do that, he'll stop. So Krishna gives free will. He could control them, but he doesn't wish to. And he lets them take the responsibilities also. Every soul. And he tells them, clearly, you have responsibility. Whatever you do, you get the results. If you want to come and serve me and live with me, then you can do that. If you want to stay here and try to beat the other guy, then you can do that. If you want to become a tree and just don't have to worry about all the hustle and the bustle, you can just stand in one place. If things are going too fast for you, you want to become a tree, okay, you could become a tree. Stand up for 500 years, 1,000 years. Krishna gives all opportunity to the soul, whatever you want. You want to merge into the Brahman? Okay, you can do that.
One time we was at Harinam, and one boy, he asked me, what will happen with you when come the death? You will go in the spiritual world or no?
Asked you.
And I asked the question, you know what exactly will happen with you when come the death? You will go in the spiritual world or?
You asked him.
I asked you now.
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah, what will happen with you when come the death? You're sure?
Yeah, I get that.
You're sure that you will go in
in the spiritual world?
Am I sure?
Yeah.
Well, we're practicing.
And what you will doing when come to death? What you will make?
I hope I chant Hare Krishna. I'm practicing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, of course, that remains to be seen, but we're practicing. So this is, at least we're going in the right direction. We're preparing ourselves. It's like even Srila Prabhupada, such an advanced devotee, he wanted to make all the arrangements to make it easy. He went to Vrindavan, he surrounded himself with devotees, and they were seeing the deities, and he could have been anywhere, he could have been in the Bowery, but when the notice was there and he had the opportunity, then he went to Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is a land where it's very easy to think of Krishna, and to chant Hare Krishna is not difficult in Vrindavan. If you're in some psychiatric hospital, where they're, you know, giving you different injections, it's more difficult.
And we do have many devotees, examples, who have left their bodies, many, and have been with many witnesses, left this world in an exemplary way. So we can see that these verses are actually being fulfilled in our experience.
Yes, because if one has transcendental knowledge and he's realized that he's not the body, then what does he have to be attached to here? He's already given up the attachments. He doesn't want to hear more rock music. He doesn't want to go to Las Vegas again. He's already had these things. He doesn't want to surf the waves of Hawaii. He's finished up his bank account. He's closed the account. Now he wants to go back to Godhead. And he realizes, I'm not this body. Why should I be attached to this body? I'll get a better body in the spiritual world. He has knowledge. Okay, continue, next verse. I think we jumped to 10, so let's go to 11.
Translation. Persons who are learned in the Vedas, who utter Omkara, and who are great sages in the renounced order, enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I shall now briefly explain to you this process by which one may attain salvation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you tell people today who are practicing these yoga exercises, you know, that you have to practice brahmacharya celibacy, then immediately most of them will become disinterested. Not even, if you tell them, okay, in the beginning, you know, yoga means brahmacharya, celibacy. So I think your yoga classes will be diminished greatly by the number of students remaining. Huh? Am I right? Yeah. So, but this is what Krishna is the authority on yoga, and he's saying, therefore, what's going on? It's just do some nice stretching and watch the person's neck to you stretch. And they generally have boys and girls also. A lot of boys and girls together in leotards. Yeah, so I mean it's... No, it's obvious what the program is. Okay. Continue, next text.
Text 12, translation. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses, and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head. One establishes himself in yoga.
One time I went into a... I went to wash my clothes in a public laundromat. And there were two young boy and young girl. They were sitting on top of the washing machines. And they were in a... They were yogis. You know, they were doing meditation. And then at the end, as you know, sometimes the old washing machines, they start shaking and everything. So they started spinning and shaking, and they were trying to, and then went ding, and then they got up from their meditation and they took their clothes out. So, but that doesn't work. That's not the system of yoga as recommended in the Vedic scriptures. We can't just take some parts. I like the part where you sit with, you know, the hands part. What about the brahmachari part? The celibacy part? Do you like that? What about the part shutting out all the detachment from all sensual engagements? Or do you like to go to McDonald's after yoga practice? And go to the donut shop. See? Fix the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head. So in other words, to practice yoga is not an easy thing. You just pay $15 for a lesson and that's yoga. It doesn't work like that. Okay, next verse.
Text 13, translation. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om,
that they like. They like chanting Om and holding hands and then smoking dope. This is their Om chanting. We've seen it. We've gone to the rainbow gatherings. We know.
But the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the supreme personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planet.
Now, of course, the inevitable question is, if I'm on LSD and I think of Krishna, where will I go? Right? That's a good question. I'm taking LSD, but I'm thinking of Krishna. Aha, that's a good point. There, give him the microphone. That was a good statement.
Yeah, if you're taking LSD, there's a lot of other things that are going to go on in your mind. If Krishna's in there, you'll be really lucky, but there'll be a lot of other things going on.
Krishna may be in there with his, you know, with who knows what. You know, there's some Krishna and so many other things going on in there. Yes, you won't be able to fix your mind, because the whole point of LSD is to let the mind just, you know, become, well, it'll be influenced by the drug. So if you take intoxication, how will you be able to fix your mind on Krishna?
Can't fix your mind on anything.
No, that's the point. The mind becomes out of control. So that's not a good program. I'll take LSD and then I'll think of Krishna. I'll take marijuana and then I'll think of Krishna. Or I'll have, you know, 10 whiskeys and I'll be able to relax and then I'll be able to think of Krishna. He's got a question.
Maharaj, earlier you were mentioning something a little bit about, or Panchajani had mentioned something about Kshatriya Dharma and Brahmana Dharma and going back to, or going to the heavenly planets because they perform certain activities. And I've noticed that with some of the youth that are involved in Krishna consciousness, I noticed especially in Europe, they have a kind of this, I don't want to call it an obsession, but like a particular inkling or inclination towards thinking that they're Kshatriyas, especially a lot of these straight-edge kids. They like to think of themselves kind of as Kshatriyas or as warriors. They don't like to think of themselves as Brahmanas so much. And so I was wondering, is there any validity to this kind of belief that we could be Kshatriyas as opposed? Because typically Srila Prabhupada encouraged his disciples to think of themselves as Brahmanas or to try to cultivate a Brahminical lifestyle as opposed to a more warrior-like or kshatriya-like lifestyle.
Well, that's okay. If he has the qualities of a kshatriya, and it's by guna and karma. So guna means his qualities. Does he have the qualities of a kshatriya? What are they? Read them. Tejo, Shoryam, Shaucham. No, no, give him the microphone. Hold on.
Shoryam Tejo Dritir Daksham Yude Chapi Apalayanam Dhanam Ishvara Bhavascha Shatram Karma Svabhavajam. Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are the natural qualities of work for the kshatriyas.
Sishigonitai ki jai, Bhagavad Gita ki jai.